In recent services, we've been studying together the subject of Christian service, what it means to be a servant of the Lord. We've looked at various aspects of serving Christ. Tonight, I want to draw your attention to this portion in John chapter 2, and particularly to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ's mother, his mother Mary. She said something very, very important to the servants at the wedding feast in Cana. And it's simply this. Concerning Christ, she said, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And that is really the gist of Christian service. That is what serving the Lord is. If you wanted to have a definition of Christian service, I think this would be a very good one. It is doing whatsoever the Lord says unto you to do. I think this statement is significant because it tells us something about the Lord's mother herself. Throughout the history of the church since New Testament times, the Virgin Mary, as many like to describe her, has been venerated. She has been exalted to a position that she never herself would have sought, nor would she have desired, nor is it right that she should be exalted to that position. It was never ever her intention, nor was it the intention of Christ, to have men venerate her and to give her the prominence that many have done throughout the ages of history since that time. It is clear that she has been elevated by some to a position that she never ever claimed nor sought while she was upon the earth. Mary is the mother of the Lord, that is clear. But to describe her as the mother of God is wrong. It is incorrect. Mary is the mother of one who is God. She was the human mother of Jesus. But God doesn't have a mother. God is eternal. God is unchangeable. And what happened at the incarnation was that God, the essence of God, which is the Son, the eternal Logos, the second person of the Trinity, took into union with himself our humanity. And he was born of a virgin. And he lived without sin on this earth. It is wrong, however, to describe Mary as the mother of God. She is not. She is the mother of Jesus. It is also wrong for people to worship Mary. She never desired worship in the days of her flesh, and she doesn't desire it today. Mary is in heaven. And in heaven, with all the rest of those who are in heaven, the angels and so forth, she is worshiping Christ. And it's interesting as we look at this portion of Scripture that Mary's words are significant because of what they tell us, not only about herself, but about the Lord Jesus. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. The position of Christ is one of supreme authority, and he deserves our total and absolute allegiance. Christ is Lord of all. He is to be obeyed and served. It is not just some mere man or group of men that we are to obey. It's certainly not the church that Mary pointed to as the great authority. Now, God has given a position to his church. And there's no question that the New Testament teaches that there are such things as overseers in the work of God. There are those to whom we are to submit ourselves. Hebrews chapter 13. The Bible teaches the office of ministry. It teaches the office of elder and of deacon and so forth. There is a church and there is structure in the New Testament. But I want you to notice that Mary did not point people to any human structure as being the great authority, but Christ himself. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And you will note here that the obedience that we are to render to Christ is to be total and unequivocal. Whatsoever, that means anything at all and everything. that he saith unto you, do. It's unqualified, it's unlimited, it's unrestricted. It is absolute obedience to the word of the Lord that Mary referred to. And that obedience is demanded of every Christian today and in every day. The Spirit of God says this to each one of us tonight. Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. This is Christian service. And in the text, I want you to notice the following things. This text sets forth for us the purpose of a Christian's life. And what is that purpose? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll read from verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Notice that this work of God is unto obedience. The whole purpose of our election is our obedience to God. Those who are saved by God's grace are to do whatsoever he saith. There is a verse in the Old Testament that speaks to this in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Samuel is speaking here to Saul. Saul has disobeyed the word of the Lord. God told him to do a certain thing, and he decided in his own lack of wisdom to do something else. He disobeyed God, though he tried to pretend that he was obeying God. And Samuel said, 1 Samuel 15:22, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. The great thing, Samuel says, is obedience. Now, when we think about unregenerate men, people who are not saved, they are called in the Bible, and I'm thinking here of Ephesians chapter 2, the children of disobedience. The children of disobedience. That is a mark of the unregenerate. They obey not the gospel, to be exact. We think of Pharaoh in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus. And when Moses came to speak with him about what Jehovah God had said, he said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? And isn't that what people say? If they don't articulate it with their lips, they certainly have that in their hearts. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I'm not going to obey God. And yet, obedience is the purpose of a Christian's life. The believer is one who has been brought to what the scripture calls the obedience of faith. Obedience. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. Put it like this. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine or teaching which was delivered you. Obedience is that which sets a Christian apart. You think about this tonight. The Christian life begins with an act of obedience. And what is that? It is the acceptance of the cross. The Bible says in John 1:12, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We receive Christ by faith, and that faith is not of ourselves. It comes from God. He gives it as a gift. And this is what we term obeying the gospel. But it doesn't stop there. Just that simple act of obedience to the gospel message, accepting Christ, accepting the merits of his cross as the ground of our acceptance with God, it doesn't stop there. It leads on to a life of faith and obedience, doing what the Lord tells us to do. And so we can say that the Christian life involves an allegiance to the crown. The old preachers in the days of the Reformers and the Puritans used to be fond of saying, no cross, no crown. No cross, no crown. And when we come to the cross, when we come to Christ and are saved, there is immediately then worked within us by the Spirit of God an allegiance to the crown. I come from the United Kingdom, where they have a queen, they have a monarch, and letters to the sovereign are often signed, "Your devoted subject." Now, as Christians, we're to be devoted subjects, not to any earthly or any natural king or queen, but we have to give obedience and we owe allegiance to a crown. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is our sovereign. He is our ruler, and we must obey him, and that's why he has saved us. If you turn in Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, you will see that it's made very clear there. Paul, in writing to that church, says this, Colossians 1 verse 13, "Concerning the Lord, he hath delivered us from the power of darkness, from the authority of the devil, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son," the kingdom of the Son of his love. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has saved us that we might come under the authority of Christ. Now tell me tonight, are you seeking to be subject to the rule of Christ in all things in your life? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. The Shorter Catechism tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ fulfills three offices: prophet, priest, and king. Of course, the Bible told us that before the Catechism told us that, because that's where it comes from. Christ, to quote the Catechism, however, which is just a succinct way of defining what the Bible says, Christ executeth the office of a king in ruling and defending us and in subduing all his and our enemies. Christ is a king. I want to tell you that the kingship of Christ is very much part and parcel of the gospel. There are folks, and we hinted at this in the last message, who would, if they could, be saved by Christ, who would have him as their priest, but they're not willing to be ruled over by Christ as their king. They want the Savior to deliver them from hell and from judgment, but they don't want Christ to rule over their lives. And I'm telling you that Christ will not be your prophet and your priest unless he is also your king. We need to realize this, that obeying Christ is part and parcel of being a Christian. So the question comes to me, are you doing what he tells you to do? Obedience is vital, because obedience is the purpose of a Christian's life. But secondly, obedience is so very important because it is actually the proof of a believer's love. We've been speaking about this very much in the morning services recently. The fruit of the Spirit is love. One of the things that the Spirit of God works in the heart of a truly regenerate person is love for God, love for Christ. And this is really the essence of New Testament religion. Paul said, "If any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema." If you don't love Christ, you're not a Christian. But do you really love Christ? If you do really love Christ, The Savior himself talked about this. Then you will have a regard for the commandments of Christ. If you say you love Christ, and our Savior challenged men with this very thought in John chapter 14. Just let me read a couple of verses here. John 14 verse 15. He said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Oh, but Pastor, that's legalism. Is it? I didn't write this. Our church didn't dream this up, or no other church dreamed this up. The Lord Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." What are the commandments of Christ? The commandments of Christ are the commandments of God. We know that when Moses received the tablets from God, on those two tablets there were written 10 words, the 10 words, as they're called, the 10 commandments. That is what we call the moral law, which is summarily comprehended in those 10 commandments. The first table of the law deals with our duty to God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You're not to have any other god before his face. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother, because our parents are given to us in the place of God, as far as on this earth, as far as their authority is concerned. I believe that it belongs to the first table of the law. Others would disagree with me and say it's 4 and 6, but I believe it's 5 and 5. But there are two tables in the law, and the first table of the law is summed up by Jesus in the words of Matthew 22. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. The second table of the law. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. And all the words that are associated with that. That's the second table of the law. It's summarily comprehended in this statement. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the second table of the law. And God tells us in his word, these are his commandments. And Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is the demand of Christ. Of course, the problem is there's no man on this earth who's able to keep the commandments of God perfectly. There is but one who kept the commandments of God, and that is Christ himself. But nevertheless, though we are saved by the law-keeping of Christ, it doesn't mean that because of that the Lord Jesus has just done away with his law. And so now you can commit adultery if you want to, you can steal if you want to, you can take his name in vain if you want to. It really doesn't matter. All that's done with, that's legalism. No, it is not legalism. It's not a way of being saved by law. We are under the law to Christ, and obeying Christ, I say, is part and parcel of being a Christian. We're under his authority. Now, Jesus said something else in John 14. In verse 21, 23, and 24, let me read these words. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And in verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. The proof of a Christian's love. There is no substitute for obedience that will be acceptable to God. See the example of Saul again there in 1 Samuel 15. The Lord wants us to do as he says. Lovest thou me? Jesus said to Peter. Do you love me, Peter? You say that you do. The Lord would say that to us. Lovest thou me? Well then, if you do, why are there commands in this book that you're not willing to obey? In Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 46, our Lord used this very thing to challenge his hearers who were not willing to obey him. Here's what he said. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why would you call him your Lord if you don't want him to be Lord of your life? The commands of the Bible are the commands of Christ. Are we seeking to be submissive to those commands? Don't say that you love the Lord and at the same time just ignore the plain injunctions of his word. We're living in a time when people talk a lot about loving Jesus. You hear this all the time. Oh, I love Jesus. And they sing about it, loving Jesus. But the Jesus that they're talking about is divorced from the Bible. He's not the Jesus of Scripture. He's some sort of a figment of their imagination. And people say they love Jesus, but then they have problems with some scriptures. They don't really like this verse and that passage and the other commandment. And they cherry pick the scriptures. But friends, you cannot separate the living word, Christ, from the written word, the Bible. And I have to say, those who don't love the book don't love the Savior that the book sets forth. You don't love Christ if you don't love the word of Christ. And if you don't have a desire in your heart to obey his word, you don't really love the Lord Jesus. Willingness to obey. This is the proof that our love is real. This is Christian service. And where the rubber meets the road is where something that you do can be shown from Scripture to be wrong in the sight of God. Are you willing to cease from it? The Lord shows you something. You realize from his word, that's not right. What are you going to do? You're going to say, well, it's not right, but I'm going to do it anyway. Or are you going to say, no, it's not right. God has shown me it's not right. I'm going to cease from that. And if the things that you're not doing, by the same token, the things you're not doing are proved to be the commands of God in Scripture, are you willing to commence doing those things? To start doing those things? Because this is what I would call the acid test of the reality of our love for Christ. Let me just throw in this caveat. There's none of us who obey the Lord perfectly. There's none of us who obey the Lord perfectly. There's none of us who can say, I have not sinned and I do not sin. But the reality is, if you're a true Christian, you have a desire in your heart to please the Lord. You want to live for him. You want to do his bidding. 1 John 5 verse 3 puts it like this. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It means they're not burdensome. We don't look upon the Lord's commandments as an imposition on our lives. We're very glad to do his bidding. This is the proof of a Christian's love. And I also have to say that obedience, and this is really the essence of Christian service, obedience is the pathway to a believer's learning. When Mary said to the servants at that wedding, whatsoever he saith unto you, do. She was referring to the pathway of blessing and of further growth in grace. You see, if we obey the Lord's word, we will learn more of Christ by experience. Let me show you this scripture. In John chapter 7 verse 17, the Lord Jesus said, if any man will do his will, and it really means if any man desires to do his will, or is willing to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. I believe that when we're willing to do God's will, the Lord will lead us on further. The Lord will show us more of his will. He'll show us more of his way. The Lord will direct our path. One preacher said, the reason why so many of us know so little is because we obey so little. Romans 12 verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. I like how one translation puts this. Do not allow the world to squeeze you into its mold. When our girls were little, they loved to play with plasticine. or Play-Doh, I think it was. You know what that is? And they would make all sorts of little things with this Play-Doh. They had these little things that they would put the Play-Doh into, and then they would press it out, and it would be animals or some other characters. They had a lot of fun with that. What they did was they pressed that stuff, that Play-Doh, into the mold. They pressed it in there until it all got in there so it would make that shape. And what Paul is saying here is, don't allow the world to press you into its mold. The Lord wants you to be different. But the world wants you to be a conformist. God wants you to be a non-conformist. Be not conformed to this world. Don't allow the world to press you into its mold. But be ye transformed, changed, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, and this is the important part, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Lord will show you more of His will as you are willing to obey Him in the light that you have already. You walk and He will give you more light. I personally believe that God is not going to give you any more light until you walk in the light that you already have. The path of obedience is, however, the pathway of blessing. And in Scripture, as well as in human history and church history, we could give many, many examples of folks who experienced great blessing simply because they were willing to do the whatsoever the Lord said. Consider what the Bible says of Abram, later to be called Abraham. He's one of the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. The Bible records of him in that chapter, in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, not right then, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. He didn't know where he was headed. He knew the Lord had something for him, but he didn't know what it was. He knew there was an inheritance that he was going to receive later, but he didn't know where he was going. He just knew that the Lord was leading him there. And he went out with that obedience in his heart to serve the Lord. He was blessed in a marvelous way as he acted in faith. We read of others in the Scripture who were exactly the same. They obeyed the Lord. They did His bidding. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. I think of the example of Simon Peter in Luke chapter 5. There's an incident here where when the Lord stopped speaking, He talked to Simon personally and He gave him a commandment. He said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. I want you to go out into the deep water, Simon, and I want you to let your nets down and there will be fish. And Simon started arguing with the Lord, similar to what we do sometimes. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Lord, do you not know we've been fishing all night already and we didn't catch a single fish? Not even a minnow. Not even a sardine. Lord, we have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. What a difference. What a difference when the Lord goes forth with us in our fishing. When the Lord drives the fish into the net. And I pray for that in the ministry of the gospel, that the Lord would drive the fish into the net. I'd far rather have the fish that He enables me to catch as the ones that I catch on my own. I heard of a boy once in my part of the world, and he was fishing, and he told his friend, he said, I caught a whale. He said, you caught a whale? He says, yes, a bicycle whale. Because he was fishing in a canal or something, fishing in the wrong place. When you fish for men and the Lord goes forth with you in that fishing, the fish that are driven into the net will be the right ones. And if we would only do as we're told, what a difference it would make in our lives. We sing the hymn, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Tell me, are you missing out because of a failure to obey the word in some area? Whatsoever, and that means whatsoever, anything at all, he saith unto you, do it. I have a friend back in Northern Ireland who's now retired from the ministry. For many years he was a missionary in South America. When he was a young man of about 18, he was swimming off the north coast in Ireland there. It's an area that's well known for undertows and currents. Dangerous place to swim, as well as cold. He was out there swimming with some friends one day and he got caught in one of these currents and almost drowned. Almost drowned. And they got him to shore. He was full of water. They got him brought around. He was taken by ambulance to hospital. And in the event, he was fine. But he was very sick for a time. And he testified himself that he was a Christian at the time. He was a young believer. But he was not living for the Lord the way that he should have been and wanted ultimately to. And he said when he was in hospital and had plenty of time to think, he said the Lord really ministered to him through his word. And he said, Lord, if I get out of this hospital, I will do anything. I will go anywhere. Whatever the cost, Lord, I'm willing to serve you wherever you want me to be. And he said the Lord kept him to that promise. And he ultimately went as a missionary to South America. Did a great work for the Lord there. And then he came back to Ireland and he was a pastor in his closing days of ministry there. He still preaches, but he's retired from the ministry. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Sometimes, you know, God puts his finger on some area of our lives. If you're a true believer, I know you know that's true. And I know it's true in my own life. There are times when the Lord puts his finger on an area of my life. And he says in as many words, get it sorted out. Sort it out. This is what my word says. I want you to obey my word in that area. Maybe something needs to stop. Then stop it today by God's grace. Maybe something needs to start. Well, then start to do that right now. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. It's a very simple statement, isn't it? Very, very simple. Very straightforward. But it's very profound. It has deep and broad and wide implications for our lives. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. This is Christian service. And I trust that the Lord would enable us by his grace and by his mercy to obey him in everything and to be his servants. Amen.